This is John Walton, and you're listening to the Power Play Point Podcast with the Blue Liner on point and Anna Knox. Here's Wilson, and on the right side, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score!
Hello and welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, the Blue Liner on Point, talking to you wherever ye may be, live to tape from the ye old couch and recliner in Glen Burnie, Maryland. And another 50-50 week on the ice here in Caps fandom. And with me, as always, to speak to you about said on-ice performance and other things is, of course, my erstwhile co-host, the one and only mermaid live herself from Centerville, Virginia. That would be Anna Knox.
I don't know. I wish I could be more enthusiastic, but not really feeling it. I think it's just, you know, I think Boston just gets my skin.
Yeah, it was just that. Yeah, I mean, I'd have been okay if it was somewhat of a closer game at the end, but
I have two things. I would have been okay if someone dropped the gloves and beat the crap out of Marchand. And secondly, I agree. I wish it was a closer game because it wasn't from lack of effort, but it was definitely a frustrating game. But we're going to talk about that later.
That it was, yes, that it was. And of course, we're talking about the fourth of the four games that we're about to cover today, it being April the 18th today. As we are talking to you, it is after 5 p.m., our usual record time we go to the can or put it in the can. Yeah. All right. So, I don't want to be in a down mood because, I mean, overall, I think this team's doing fairly well. But, yeah, just something. You're right. Something about Boston. Just, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't, you know. Right now. Yeah. I think it's just. Oh, so my other thing was no. So someone dropping the glove with Marchand and then also the fact that he scored twice. Gets under my skin. My skin so much. That little smug,
rat-faced son of a.
Yeah. So yeah. I think that they just made me cranky, and I hate the afternoon games, even though yesterday was great, but bleh. Afternoon games against Boston, afternoon games against Pitt should just be eliminated from the Capitals' future schedule. I'm going to let Ted know that. Like I've got some pull there.
Yeah, listen to me. Yeah. Well, actually, this one was on the road, so not a whole lot could have been done about that one.
True, but it didn't have to be at noon.
Yeah, I know. That's I think it's the NBC people we need to yell at because it's Yeah, don't get me started on those guys again. Anyway, all right. So let's get to it. It's a 2-2 week again. But before we do, it is we're running out of time here. There are only 1, 2, 3 full weeks left in the season. And that amounts to 2, 5, 9, 10 games. We're now hitting the less than double digit mark, or we will be very soon. So you know what that means. That means if you hadn't started your playoff run, as they say, Dominus Vobiscum, God be with you, because ain't nobody else will be.
And I hate that. I think that's just, oh my God, I cannot believe that I'm usually not so I'm not a Debbie Downer. It made like a negative Nancy or whatever it is. But when I look at the calendar, I'm like, really? It's basically just the Islanders and the Penguins. And it's just like, why can't we have anybody else to look, you know, to play that, I don't know, that doesn't get under your skin, but nope.
Well, no, whatever. Yeah, you know, that's just how they built the schedule this year. And I would actually prefer annoyed or perhaps even angry Anna versus any of those. So.
Yeah. Okay. So not. Yeah. Well, I am annoyed. No, let's just start with that. I am annoyed. So we'll get into that when we start talking about the games.
Oh yeah. All right. So yeah, let us do talk about the games. When we last left you, the Caps had put a righteous spanking on the very same Bruins we had just talked about, and it was so good. Anna had to turn her head and cough just now.
Yeah, I did. I was like, oh, what is that? 8-1. what happened a week later? Like, what happened?
Exactly. Yeah, it makes you wonder. So their next game was this past Tuesday, back at home in good old Cap 1. And it was another drubbing, this time to taking it to the Philadelphia Flyers.
Yeah.
6-1. Quick rundown of the scoring. Connor Sherry, he of the new contract that was announced.
For him.
With his 11th goal of the year. Sprong and Eller on the assists, making 1-0, 7:07 in the first. Sean Couturier would answer for the Flyers in what would be their lone salvo. His 13th, assisted by Trevor, but James Van Riemsdyk. 8:45, so about a minute and a half later. So who would get the winning goal? Because that would be the next winning goal. I wonder who it could be. Some guy who is very good at getting game-winning goals.
Yes, he is. Although, you know what? I'm not going to jump ahead. Yes, he is, and this was a great game from my Tommy.
Yes, it was. And so it was, of course, Mr. Wilson, he of the number 43 sweater, with his 11th on the power play. Sherry and Anthony Mantha, which this would be his very, very first game as a Capital, and that would be his very, very first point as a Washington Capital. Ovechkin, a nice gesture there, dragged the puck out of the net and collected that. And that, appropriately enough, would be the game-winning point and goal. That was at 11:32 and the first at the on the power play, rather. Caps would get another power play a few minutes later. Niklas Backstrom, his 14th, making it 3-1 Washington. Ovechkin, Carlson on the assist there. And then... let's see, about 2 minutes later, 18:21 in the first, Carl Hagelin with his 5th, assisted by Orlov and Carlson. And I don't know if you saw the celebration on this, but this he did the pimp count my digits.
Oh yes,
Stelly, that was.
I will say, I didn't expect that from him. I don't know why. I always think of Hags as just, you know, kind of not as quiet and reserved as like a Backstrom, but I think that I didn't see that coming, but it was hilarious.
He's got some nastiness to him. So yeah, I just
didn't think he would do it, but good for him. It was very funny.
Actually wasn't surprised. So all right, so that was how the score stood in that game going into the second. And speaking of the second, who should score but Ant-Man himself?
Mm-hmm.
That was great. His 12th of the year, first as a Washington Capital, assisted by TJ Oshie and Backstrom, that being Backstrom's 30th assist of the year. Yes. Making it 5-1 Caps in at the 9:22 mark of the second. And then to top it all off, no more scoring there, but in the third, Caps would make it 6-1. The captain of the Capitals, Ovechkin, with his 22nd. Wilson and Sherry on the assists on the power play, 6-1, 5-10 in the third. And there you have it.
Yeah.
Your three stars of the game, Connor Sherry with the, let's see, if it was the goal, obviously, and I think he had two assists. Yeah, the goal, two assists. So making him the numero uno star of this game. Anthony Mantha with the goal and the assist, making him the number two star. I certainly wouldn't make him call him number two, although there are some out there who would say the trade was number two. I'm not agreeing with that.
I'm not agreeing with it either.
Not right now, anyway. Yeah. And third star, Ilya Samsonov. He stopping 29 of 30 shots. Very, very good. Quick look at the vitals. Good guys, 32 shots on goal. I allowed 30 from the Flyers faceoff. Very good night indeed at the circles. 57.6 win percentage. Power play, they got three chances, scored on all three. Denied two chances from the Flyers on the PK. Very disciplined game, not very many penalty minutes. Kind of a quiet game hits-wise, barely double digits on both sides. There was a time where you'd expect way, way more, but this is kind of a different Flyers team. Block shots, yeah, that would prove costly, but not in this game. More on that later. Caps had a whopping 19 shots.
Yeah.
In the first period alone, yikes! And yeah, I don't know what's happened to this Philly team, but they are not the same team that were banging down the door and threatening the lead to run away with the division last year. I don't know, but that's unfortunately a problem they have to fix.
Yeah,
not ours. Yeah. So definitely not ours. So, yep, 6-1 win. It was a good game. Would be an even better day when we get to it. Let's see. So second home game of the week would be 2 days later. This would be Nick Backstrom's 1,000th game. 1,000th game. That's a one with three zeros behind it. And that's the best thing I have to say about this game, because Caps went on and lost to the Buffalo freaking Sabres. Now, I'm not going to put stock in one loss, one game, one lousy game, but oy.
Come on.
This was the proverbial kick in the old nards.
Yeah, this was, I don't know. I thought they just did not look good at all from the beginning, and it's like, come on, look at the record, you know, it's like, come on, we're better than this. And then, and don't ever go in, you know, assuming you're gonna kick some team's ass, but come on. Like, we were just not into it from the beginning. I just felt like they were just, I don't know. And it was just a shame, because who wouldn't want to win a monumental moment that evening for Nicholas Backstrom, to say 1,000 game, and we won, and we played hard for Nicky, and woohoo! And instead, he kind of got the complete opposite effort. And maybe they just partied too hard before, so who knows?
I don't know what it is, but every time they have some sort of ceremony beforehand, I notice it. Yeah, it takes something out of the home team. I was there when at the last ever game played at the old Capitol Center, and that just happened to be the same night they retired Rod Langway's number 5, and they had this whole thing on there, and he made this really long speech Rod did, and some would say he might have had a bit of false confidence beforehand to partake in to calm his nerves, but that's just spec. I don't know that for sure. That's just something I heard, but don't know for sure. But anyway, yeah, it kind of ran on a bit long, and I remember it was against the Canadiens, and yeah, they had their butts handed to them that game, and yeah, wasn't very fun to watch. So something about pregame festivities that drag on.
I think Robbie Gross might have said it the best, because I felt like they were just like playing like they were hungover, not literally hungover.
Here I am trying to be subtle about it.
And please. They're athletes. They're human. You're going to celebrate. Not literally hungover, be like emotionally drained, hungover, or whatever else. And he did bring up a good point that it's, you know, it is emotionally draining to see you, to go through all of that. But you have to watch that before the game, and you're going through all these emotions. I mean, 1,000 games is just, my God, like, incredible. And so, you know, you're kind of feeling it from everyone, from the veterans to the rookies, and you know, it's just too bad like there weren't fans there. But I do feel like when they come back this week, there'll be a little acknowledgement, so at least some of the fans there can applaud him in person.
Yeah, I can't get that. That'll be great this coming week when they finally let the fans back in. But yeah, it was great to watch. And of course, the I don't want to say obligatory, but the kind of the needed tear jerking moment when, you know, his son Vince said, well, you're my hero. And yeah,
totally.
Love that?
Right. I just almost am like, do it after the game or, but beforehand, it's like, you know, you get your emotions into it. And then it's like, okay, you got to shift your focus into the game. And it's not always, you're not always, your head is not always in that space at that moment.
No, it's not. And it obviously wasn't in the game. Their heads might have been somewhere else. I don't like to speculate where. But when your goal scorers are, well, when your scoring is opened by Dmitry Orlov, maybe that was a sign that of things to come.
Right.
But when he is your first goal scorer of the game against the worst team in the league, that, yeah, maybe that might have been a warning. But that's what happened. So the Sabres actually opened the scoring very late in the first, 18:50, Sam Reinhart with his 15th. My app is wigging out on me. Dylan Cousins and Henry, are you yoking with me? No, you're not. His name is really Henry Yokiharu, who with his 5th assist. That guy somehow he seems to do well against the Caps. It's just I don't get that. Anyway, that's how the period ended, 1-1, thanks to Orlov tying it. And then, yeah, then the wheels really started to fall off. Although Anthony Mantha would score yet another goal, his 13th, but by then Buffalo had started to run away with it. Olofsson and Mittelstadt with goals back to back, 4 minutes apart roughly to begin the second. But that Mantha strike would be the last they would hear. Backstrom, if anybody was curious, yes, he did get a point in this game, so he wasn't completely pointless in his 1,000th. Anders Bjork would newly arrived from Boston would make it 4-2, and they would run away with it. Tage Thompson with an empty netter to seal it. Oh, you can't talk today. And that was pretty much it. We're not going to go too much more into this game. Just going to draw a line through it. Just one of those things. So, yeah, I think the ceremony, whatever, the emotion, like you said, Anna, chalk it up to whatever you want. Because on paper, it really wasn't all that bad a game, but just, yeah, just one period kind of doomed them. They didn't pay any attention, and I don't know. But that, yeah, that was enough. And always is enough. Yeah. In this league anyway. So
moving on to the Flyers.
On to the very next game, which was a Saturday, back on the road again to Philly against the Flyers. And I thought this would be a nice test of a game because I was pretty sure the Flyers would come out in this game like somebody had whizzed in their cheese. So just play with some fire, and because, you know, you don't like getting righteously spanked like you did and humiliated. And so you want to show that you got some fire. Well, they showed it, at least for a little while anyway. But not before Alex Ovechkin would open the scoring, 3:38 in the first on the power play, his 23rd. Carlson and Kuznetsov with the assists. And then this was where I thought, oh no, this game's going to be different. Ivan Provorov would knock in a slapper, a heavy slapper, on a great pass from Claude Giroux. Farabee on the secondary assist with 1 second left in the period.
That moment where you're like, everyone kind of dropped their guard and was like ready to head to the locker room. And this is why you don't do that. And you play 60 minutes, the full 60. Because here, this is what happens.
This is exactly what happens. And this was, this was the proverbial snap of the Jill strap. And it's, you never ever want to go into a period like that. And well, they did. And so I to myself, I was like, oh geez, they let that happen. And it's like, okay, so this game's going to be totally different. Well, so who opens the, by the way, no, the McNugget minute goal does not count if the other team scores it. Just want to clear that up.
Who would think it would count?
I'm just want to throw out that disclaimer and it's another excuse. And also,
like, how many people are really
taking advantage of that?
Yeah, are you?
I don't want to no.
Okay, yeah.
I got my own living, breathing fast food connection. Thank you very much. So,
oh, I know you do.
And it ain't the Golden Arches. So no.
No.
To start the second period, Orlov would score the anti McNugget minute goal, as I like to call it, 33 seconds in. Nice slap shot of his own. Carlson and Ovechkin with the assists on that one. And again, 33 seconds in the second. The wrong Van Riemsdyk, James, not Trevor, again, would tie it 2-2, his 14th at 5:28, so almost 5 minutes later on a wrister. Alex Ovechkin got his 24th. His second of the game, making it 3-2 Washington, less than a minute later on the power play again. Stop me if you've heard that before. And then at 15:02 in the second, Evgeny Kuznetsov would get his 8th, assisted by Tom Wilson and Carlson, his 32nd assist. And that would be the game-winning goal, keeping the Caps up for good. So the next goal. I want everybody listening to remember this kid's name, because not only did he impress me with his very first goal of his career, but his compete level through this whole game. This is his first game, very first NHL game, by the way. Okay, so listen when I say Wade Allison. Is going to be a star, maybe not a superstar, maybe not in that really high echelon, but he is going to make something of himself in this league. This kid showed me some fire, some hunger, and some compete today. And this this guy has a lot of knock me down all you want. I'm going to get right back up and get back in your face.
Exactly. He was good. He was good. I'll tell you.
I liked, even though he was wearing the wrong sweater, I enjoyed watching this kid play.
Yeah.
Let me tell you. Wade Allison, his first on the power play. Kevin Hayes and Giroux again. Claude Giroux on the assist.
We'll stop it there for like all of a 10-second acknowledgement for a Flyer player. Like you said, young kid, rookie. Like, this is his first year, right?
It was his first game.
Yeah, first. Oh, his first game. Okay. So you can not only walk away from that game saying, oh my God, I scored for the Flyers in the third period on a power play goal, yay me, but it was also assisted by Claude Giroux. I mean, come on.
Exactly.
Good for him, aside from whatever team he is, that's got to be a phenomenal moment in your athletic history to say, I scored this, and this is who assisted it, because holy crap, that's huge.
It is, and he's going to take that, and he's going to run with it, and if Flyers management is smart, they will do everything they can to keep him and start building around him and some other young talent that they've got on that team.
I agree.
Because he's going to make something of himself. I promise you that. I've been looking at hockey players all of my life, practically. I know what I'm talking about. I know what I see in this kid. He's going to be pretty damn good.
Yeah.
All right. So that made it 4-3 Flyers, or 4-3 Washington, rather. Oh, no. So that would make Kuznetsov's goal still the winner. Okay. Just want to make sure I have this right. So Connor Sherry at 9:15, about 2 minutes later. This one was probably my favorite goal of the whole week. Connor Sherry parked himself in front of the net, battled for position, waited for Justin Schultz to slide himself into the point position. Schultz purposely slapped the shot just wide of the goal, which is exactly where Sherry was pointing his stick at the time, and it deflected just right, so it went kind of sideways in the opposite direction of where the goalie, and I think it was not Carter Hart, some other goalie. I had to call up some rookie. Wasn't Brian Elliott either. I wish I could remember his name.
Is that Lion? Leon?
Lion, yes. Yeah. And we're not lying about that. That is his name. But yeah, it was, I don't know if it was his first game, but it was his first year. Mm-hmm. And had him completely fooled. I absolutely love those deflections.
Yeah.
I love seeing those because it takes a lot of skill to set that up and do that. So Schultz with the primary assist, Eller with the secondary assist on that one. That put him up 5-3. And then Anthony Mantha again, Ant-Man, with an empty netter, keeping the streak alive, 18:48 in the third, icing it for Washington. And so let's see, was this the game? Yes, this was the game. 1, 2, 3, 4, count them, 4 assists for John Carlson.
It's fantastic. I mean, when when Locker and Joe B are talking about, hashtag John Carlson at Norris Trophy, that here we are again. And he's been consistent. He's been amazing. What a powerhouse. I mean, this guy he's just fantastic and deserves, just the acknowledgement. But he has been one of the most consistent players on the Capitals recently.
Okay.
No?
Well, I'll get back to you on that.
Okay. Not the most, but I'm just saying one of.
I'll get back to you on that in about a minute or two. Yeah. So obviously with his 4 assist performance, 4 points, made the number one star of the game, captain with his 2 goals, number 2, and they made Wade Allison number 3 star. I thought that was good. Mm-hmm. Good choice. Good to see. Another one of those games where shots mattered more than anything else. 41 on net for the Caps, 25 for the Flyers. Really rotten stink job at the faceoff dot. 39.3. If that's not the worst, that's pretty damn close.
I think the last one we have is like 39.7. So yes, it's not in regards to the worst face-off we've had percentage-wise. I think this was this takes the cake.
Yeah, and it doesn't help that you're facing the likes of Claude Giroux and Sean Couturier. That certainly doesn't help. So, but but fortunately or unfortunately, it didn't really matter because all that matters is put the puck in the net, and they managed to do so without obtaining possession right away. Power play 2 for 5 for the Caps, surrendered 1 out of 4 chances on the power play going the other way, did the penalty kill. Penalty minutes, a little bit out of control here. Caps whistled for 4 penalties, Flyers whistled for 5. The hits were ramped up a bit. Flyers had 24. I'm a little surprised at this. Flyers out-hit the Caps 24-17. Usually when they get out-hit, they don't get to play their game. But, wasn't so this game. So the possession game is I think, what doomed the Flyers. They had 9 giveaways and only 4 takeaways. So, really, when the Caps, the story of the game, once the Caps had it, they knew what to do with it. And the Flyers did bring the intensity. It's just, they know how to get around. I don't know what's happened with the Flyers D lately, but the Caps just know how to get around them now. A lot easier than earlier in the year. So what are you going to do? And again, I don't know. Other than that, I don't know what they can do except fix the D, and they had their shot at the trade deadline. I don't think they did a whole lot, but it's go time. And if they don't fix something soon, they're going to find themselves out of the playoffs, which they already are technically. So, but that's them. So after 3 games, you have Anthony Mantha on a 3-game scoring streak. You have John Carlson coming off a 4-assist performance. Okay, so wind it all up. Very next day, still on the road. We're facing those hated Boston Bruins with those ugly black and gold sweaters. We spanked their ass last time, 8-1. Rah, rah, put it together. Let's kick their ass again. And wasn't to be. And yeah, so I never like to put a loss on one guy because you lose as a team, but as much as anything else, and this is where I was headed with John Carlson, as good as he was against Philly, he stunk like a stack of 100 porta potties in this game.
Oh, I'm not saying. Okay, I think you. All right.
Well, when you said consistent, I mean, if a guy is consistent,
I didn't necessarily think that today anybody was. I mean, I'm not going to say that it was a terrible game because I felt like when they came out to play Buffalo.
Have you ever spent an extended amount of time in a porta john?
No, why would I?
Would you? Oh, okay, even a minute.
What's the?
Okay, so imagine that and multiply that stench by about 1,000.
I don't think it was that bad.
I think it was.
Oh, I don't. I mean, I think. I don't think it was as bad as you're claiming, but I feel like I can't bring up other players who played terribly because I don't know what to think about Garneth Hathaway and his antics today. I do think that it was a bit of a bullshit call.
Oh, it was very much a bullshit call.
Yeah, but you know, he's chirping and he's doing his thing out there. And of course, you know, God forbid, no one ever calls on Marshawn. He was just a shit. But you know, Tommy had a couple of moments where I was like, "How did you miss that?" You know, and I don't know. I didn't feel like John Carlson was on my radar as someone who I was like, "What the fuck are you doing?" Because he's had some great games.
Okay, I acknowledge that, but I mean, to go from that to this, I think that's what bothers me more than anything is the range. I mean, if somebody's supposed to be consistent, okay, yeah, you can have a bad game, but my God, I mean, if he'd have just put it this way, I'm pretty sure he was directly responsible, if not damn close to it, for at least two of the Bruins' goals. And by the way, I wasn't alone. Thank you very much. Mrs. Blue Liner chirping from beyond.
I couldn't hear what she was saying.
She said he was responsible for the empty netter.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
I think you're being too harsh on him. So yes, off game. I think prior to he's kicked ass, so he had an off game. But I feel like it's gonna happen. I mean, like, you know, we look at an Alex Ovechkin, like, holy shit, everyone, you know, look at all the goals he got in the last couple games, and then there was today. He didn't score anything. So it's like, are you gonna hold him to the same caliber? You know, it's like, it happens. I don't think that John Carlson was that terrible today against Boston. But of course that's my opinion and you have yours, and that's why we do the show. What I was saying before was this game didn't disappoint me as much as in regards to effort as the Buffalo game, because I felt like they came out tired, hungover, whatever you want to call it, when they played Buffalo. This one, they came out fast and smart and physical. My God. Like, they were just, so I felt like they gave a ton of effort. It was just a lot of shitty calls against us, missed calls against Boston. And it's just infuriating that way. And I don't know. Like, it's just going to be, this is their rival now. I think Penguins, yes, but I think Boston has taken over first place for us.
Yeah, I'm of that mentality too. Now, for me, where the game seemed to fall apart was, surprise, surprise, the second period. Let's just run down the score sheet real fast. So it started off. I guess the first 10 minutes was even, and then the Caps got that power play, and okay, we're thinking, all right, 4-minute power play. All right, so let's see them strut their stuff, and then they do what? They give up a shorthanded goal. The latest in a series of a kick in the nads again this whole flipping week. You know, it's like, you know, you open a good bottle of wine, somebody had knocked it over and all the contents are on the floor and the cat's trying to lick it up. That's basically what this game turned into at 12:02 in the first for me, even though I drink beer most of the time. Anyway, okay. We won't discuss that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, and by the way, it's called a Rattler.
Okay.
So moving on, 13:56 in the first, Bruins get another one. David Krejci. I'm not crazy for his love anyway. Makes it 2-0 Boston on a tip in. And then Caps are on the comeback. 10 seconds left in the period, and I thought, okay, now we're rolling. TJ Oshie causes his usual havoc in front of the net, tips the shot in. Backstrom on the assist for that one. Now I'm thinking, okay, we got a shot here. There's some fire here. And then second period, 3:48, Caps get another power play, another extended power play, because Connor Clifton can't keep his stick down.
That guy's a douche.
Well, I don't think douche has anything to do with it. I think it's more to do with his toilet training. Anyway, because of that, Caps were awarded another power play. TJ Oshie strikes again, evens the game, his 16th. Kuznetsov and Backstrom on the assist on that one. Caps get another power play later and actually take the lead. Ant-Man again, his 15th, fourth straight game with a goal. Trade's looking better and better, isn't it, guys? I just want to put this to bed. I'm not down on Vrana. I like him just as much as, you know, the next Cap fan, but okay, it's four games. He's going to thrive in Detroit. Everybody needs to let him go. Everybody's moved on. Need to let him go. And that's all I'm going to say about it. Damn it, Orlov, and that's Dmitry Orlov and Lars Eller on the assist on that one. So he's thriving on that second unit on the power play. I think he's going to see first unit duty before it's all over. Let's see. Okay, so 3-2 Caps, and then Marchand ties it a minute and a half later with his 22nd. Pasta and burger face with his helping out there. That tied it, and then Krejci put him up for good with his fifth. Smith and Taylor Hall knew of the Sabres. I bet he's thanking his lucky stars for that trade.
Absolutely.
16:02 in the second. That put the Bruins up for good, and then Bergeron with his 18th. Like I said, this is the period where it all went to the giant porta potty. That made it 5-3 in the Boston, and they never looked back. And then in the third, Marchand iced it 18-16 with the empty netter. I don't know. Caps were never really out of it, but like I said, that second period was when the wheels really just fell off. Mm-hmm. And look, before I get to the team vitals, I'm not trying to dump on Carlson too much, but and again, this is not the most important or as important a stat as some would let it out to be, but I would like to point out that John Carlson for this game not only had no points, but was a -5. And yes, he was on the ice for that shorthanded goal, so that counts. But -5.
I would need to look at the stats of the other games to see when, you know, if he's really that inconsistent. I mean, -5. It's a shit game. He didn't have a good game. There are a lot of them that didn't have a good game. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, I get that. I'm just saying. Okay. I'm just saying. When you have a really, really good game and you come down that low, you know, that's what bothers me. You have a really, really good game. Okay, I would have been fine if he was a -2 or something like that and had a goal and or an assist.
Right, but they're playing back-to-back, not in the same city, and it's the afternoon games, which, you know, it just sucked. So
I know, but you can't.
I think you're giving him a harder time than needed.
I am, but I'm also not going to make any excuses for him either. You know, these guys are professionals, and, you know, they have to. Every team has back-to-back games, you know, like this in some format, and, you know, you got to deal with it.
How do we go from beating Boston 8-1 to losing to Buffalo?
That's what I'm saying.
But that is my frustration. Like, I mean, I see, but I feel like you're putting this more on John Carlson than the team in general.
Okay, he's one example.
Okay.
He's one example. I'm not saying he's the reason we lost, but had he played maybe even a little bit better, the score would have at least been closer. You know, Kuznetsov, he got the one assist, but he was also a -4, for example. So and Vanecek, I don't think Vanecek had a really good game either. I mean, there's probably a couple of goals he would have liked to have had back.
So, oh, absolutely. I think he looked his best in the third period, to be honest. I thought he was really looking good then. But that first 40 minutes where it's like, what's going on here? So, yeah, I don't know. Like you said, we're getting down to what you said. We have 10 games left or 11 games left?
10 games left.
Okay.
I'm not even going to bother going over the vitals in this game.
No.
Like I said, it all went.
We lost.
Downhill in the second. That's really all you need to know. And as far as Garnet Hathaway and Tom Wilson, well, you know, we dump on the NBC guys, but it was strange to hear them. But even they said, well, on that hit, that one hit, I put hit in. You can't see this, but I'm putting the word hit in air quotes. Okay.
Mm-hmm. From where which player?
The guy where the guy fell into him. He left
into Wilson or into
stumbled. Yeah, he stumbled and basically fell into Wilson.
Give me a break.
If you look at the replay, Wilson wasn't even lining him up. He was just bracing for the contact.
Yep. No, the guy, he wobbled his, he buckled because of Carlson, and Wilson just happened to be there. And it's like, okay, well, when you're skating that fast, it wasn't intentional. And give me a fucking break. And then he milked the injury, and then he came back like 2 minutes later on the ice. So it's like, give me a break.
Yeah. So, you never want to see anyone hurt, but I mean, if that doesn't prove once and for all that Wilson's intent is never to hurt someone, I don't know what the fuck is going to prove it.
Right.
I really don't.
The NBC guys, though, you can say that, yes, they said
they
that
even
about
said,
that
look,
one hit.
Yeah.
However, the other portion of the game, here they are chirping about fucking March 5th when he hit Carlo and got suspended.
Yeah.
Why are we talking about it?
Right. They did have to bring that up 10,000 times.
Exactly.
Before.
And that's like why I'm just like, shut the fuck up. Like, he's a repeat offender. I'm like, he isn't. That happened over a month ago and it was whatever. So, and I think of, had Ovechkin and Eller not said something about the Eller, I mean, holy shit, he's the bloody mouth and everything, and the rest didn't do anything. It's like, give me a break. So this game to me just had me pissed from the first Marchand goal. I was like, oh, I'm done. Just fuck that guy and fuck that team.
Now, crazily enough, the non-call was pretty much the only thing the refs got right. That whole game,
right.
that one non-call.
But the fact that nobody called it immediately when it was obvious to everybody else, and they had to go back and be like, hey, I'm missing a tooth and I'm bleeding, or whatever happened to
I'm talking about the no penalty on Wilson when he didn't do anything.
Oh, gotcha. Sorry.
But
I thought you were talking about the Eller.
No, the high sticking. How do you high stick somebody twice, get called for a 4-minute minor twice, and get to stay in the game?
Exactly.
You talk about reckless play.
Yep.
Come on. And okay. So that was bad enough, but the whole, we mentioned this earlier, the whole Garnet Hathaway thing.
Yeah. Just,
oh, come on. So the initial call, by the way, the initial call on that was no call. The guy, and I pointed this out when I was watching the game live, the ref that was 5 feet away from the play saw it right in front of him and was like, oh, well, this is nothing, because the guy turned towards the boards.
Yeah, that to me, it was not intentional.
It wasn't.
I'm not saying it because it was a capital, because it, what, like, you have to think about, like, just boarding in general. It's like these guys do this all the fucking time. But you turned your head, you went down and you smacked your head, your face, your teeth against the board. That's on you.
Right. When that's what I'm saying. When are the players going to be held accountable for putting themselves in that type of position? I get when your back is turned and you have no warning and you get hit from behind. That's exactly. One thing. But when you're at an angle where you see them coming from the corner of your eye, and then you turn and make yourself worse.
Yep.
Yeah, no, that's on you. That is definitely on you. And then so the trail official huddles with the lead official and says, oh no, I was 50 feet away, but it looked like a boarding to me. And then they use that to make the call. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, there were boarding penalties that have been doled out that are way worse than that. Mm-hmm. And they only merited 2 minutes. What the hell was with the 5 minute and game misconduct?
Yeah, that I didn't. I mean, come on.
Where the hell did that come from?
Yeah, I just looked at it because Hathaway, unfortunately, just got a negative.
The Bruins were crying about him all game.
From the beginning. They
were crying about him all game long.
So it's just, you know, so some, you knew some bullshit call was going to be. And it was like, even he looked at, you know, it's like, not that you're looking at their faces because they're always going to try to sell themselves, but it's like, that was not that's not who Garnet Hathaway is as a player. He's not a dirty player like that. Will he chirp and drop the gloves and, you know, stand up for his teammates? Yes. But this was like, man, they just had his number today. They were just not going to let it go.
No.
It was fucking annoying.
I I'm not going to say, much like I don't want to put it on John Carlson, but I think in part between that and the refs being more incompetent than usual, that kind of stacked the deck against the Caps, and forget it.
Agreed.
But had they held it together for the second period, I think this game might have been a little bit more competitive in the end. But who knows? So anyway. All right. So that ends the week. So another 2-2 week, 4 games played, 2 wins, 2 losses, all in regulation. Thank goodness. So real quick, I wanted to go over something I saw before we went on. Where the hell? Okay. Oh, darn. So when we went to air just now, or an hour ago, Devils and Rangers were tied in their game. Rangers managed to pull it out, so they get 2 more points. But haha, good news. The Sabres were leading their game against the Penguins with about 11 minutes to go, and they pulled it out, and they get a win over the Penguins 4-2.
Good.
So that's good news there. And the Islanders are set to play the Flyers. And that's on NBC SN for anybody curious, 6:30 puck drop or thereabouts tonight. So right now the points stand thus. Caps are still alone in first place, 62 points. Penguins 3 points behind, 59. Islanders at 58 points, and the Bruins are at 56. So we're still pretty tight, and the Rangers are breathing down everybody's neck. That's why I was hoping they would lose. They're at 52 points. So they're within striking distance. Philly, not quite out of it yet. They're at 46 points. But like I said, they need to turn it around in a hurry.
Right.
They'll be in deep, deep curry. Ha ha. So quick preview of coming attractions for next week. And Anna mentioned this earlier, I hope everybody likes Long Island iced tea, because that's what we'll be up to our necks in. 3 days off, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, next 3 days off. They could sure use it. What with Chara taking a beating in that Philly game. My God. Oh, boy.
That was terrible, right?
That was terrible to watch. I mean, I love him for it, but my God. It was like seeing your old uncle getting hit with whatever, and cringeworthy.
Like, you just wanted to.
Cringeworthy.
It was, no, to me, it was like watching the one kid in a dodgeball match where you're like, dude, get him off, you know,
get him out of there.
And it's like, he's just getting hit by dodgeballs. You're like, oh my God, just get him. I was like, you couldn't do anything. Here's a 6'7" monster of a man who buckled.
With one leg, managed to skate 10 feet and bat the puck out of the net.
Twice.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and Joe B and Locker calling him a warrior. I'm like, I don't even know if you can go anything higher than that, because whatever it is, that's what Chara deserves to be acknowledged as. But yeah, holy shit. Hats off to him. I didn't think he'd be in today's game. I'm bummed. We definitely needed him, because how you go from a Chara to a TVR, and it's like, I like Van Riemsdyk, but that...
Well, I don't think he played that badly, but there was definitely some rust
that was missing, especially in Boston.
You're right. And that, yeah, they could have used that to kind of, you know, calm things down, especially when things got dicey. But yeah, they definitely missed that. So yeah, hopefully he and Schultz, who ended up exiting the game, will be back by then. So that'll be Thursday on the island, 7 o'clock puck drop. And then two nights later, they'll do it again. Same bat time, same bat channel against the same bat team. Okay. And then they have Sunday and Monday off. So thankfully we'll have less games to cover next week. And then they're back at it. The Islanders and Caps are next Tuesday, this time at Cap 1, 7 o'clock puck drop as well. And then it's two games against our old friends in the other black and gold, the Penguins, Thursday and Saturday the week after. So that's the next five games. Very, very crucial. And then there'll be five games after that. We won't cover that just yet. So, all right. So, yeah, it's another 500 week, but hopefully it'll get a little bit better, a little bit rest here. And I'm really hoping with you know, the trade deadline, that everything's settled and some bumps and bruises healed, I hope everything will be, you know, set up and okay going forward. So okay, so if for our Tandem fans out there, don't forget, you can catch Anna if you cannot get enough of Anna, and honestly, who can? You can catch her for Caps Talk, which is usually the opening sequence of the Sports on the Hill podcast. That goes to air every Monday night at 9 p.m. live on Facebook, and also carried over the True Radio Network. That's TRU Radio Network. And all right. So, Anna, did you have anything else to add for this week?
I did not.
Okay. Well, I'm going to give a bit of a double feature here this week. So my wife pointed out that they had that commercial where they had that montage of interviews, and it was always the player crediting, never saying I, always we. And she was like, yeah, you know, always knows with hockey players, it's we. And she was like, you ask me, why is that? And I said, well, it's because they drink a lot of water. And so I'm reminding you that I did break a finger last week, but on the other hand, I'm okay.
Oh, girl.
I took a shot and got a rebound. You can't blame me for that.
No, I can. You're the only one that give these. This is all you. But okay, one day we'll find one that I may chuckle at. But
one day soon.
Submission.
One day.
All right, cool. Wrapping it up.
Yep, that we are. Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Power Play Point Podcast. Thanks for listening.